here with not Parrish, and that's probably my fault because I've been a scatterbrain, as our boy Oliver would say.
You have failed this city.
I have failed this podcast because not only did I not specify a time that we would be recording, I also failed to watch the episode I said we'd be recording on, which was episode 6. However, thankfully Joseph is here with me, and he saved me by saying that it hasn't been released on BBC America, probably because of the Super Bowl and the Oscars would be my guess. But because
it usually comes on at 8 or 7 on BBC America.
Okay. But because I bought the season pass through iTunes, because I no longer have BBC America through my cable package, it downloaded to my Fire Stick. So, yeah. Anyway. So, we are... Sorry, that loud bellowing in the back is my son. He seems to be dealing with some allergy issues. So, he's been sneezing like a bullhorn for the last... we'll say 8 hours. It has not been a good week for the kid. We'll just leave it at that. But we are here to discuss episodes 3, Orphan 55, episode 4, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, and episode episode 5.
One of the characters from Teen Titans.
I know, right? And episode 5, Fugitive of the Jadoon. Joseph, we're not going to go episode by episode. We're doing broad strokes. Our next podcast will be on episode 6, 7, and 8. And then our final episode will be the last two of the season. I'll just go episode by episode real quick. We're not going to go into details. What did you think of Orphan 55?
I'm going to be honest. I forgot it 2 days after I watched it. I understand the ecological peril. Yeah. English is hard. Peril.
We're struggling. I said Terra. We are on the struggle.
Blame my horrible Southern accent. I'm sorry.
And I have no such excuse.
But, you know, I did understand that. But even now, I struggle to remember anything besides the broad strokes.
I liked the episode until the end when it got super preachy. I'm like, Chibno, the message was already in the episode. You didn't have to throw this preachy message, look straight into the camera moment at the end in this long, unnecessary speech. Once you told us that I touched this thing and realized that these things were former humans that survived a nuclear holocaust and all the damage we did to the environment, we got it. We got it.
Oh, we need it.
It was too much. I did like the acting. I did like Bella and her mom being introduced. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll be back. Maybe they won't.
They probably won't.
Yeah, I know.
Which is fine. They were good for what they were, but we don't need them back.
Yeah.
And I think I may have misspoken. I think we actually did see episode 6. Praxeus. Oh, yes, I did see episode 6.
So I did not. And
so we won't talk about it, but wow is all I'm going to say.
So once again.
I'm not spoiling.
No. Once again.
You have failed this city.
Yes, I have failed this podcast. Once again, like I said at the outset, I failed the podcast. Anyway, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. What were your thoughts on that one?
That one I thought was fun. I do like Goran Zavenzis, however you pronounce his last name.
That's our boy who replaced George Clooney on ER. That's how I always remember him.
I never watched ER. I'll take your word on that.
Well, he was also one of the bad guys in season 2 of Daredevil who was coming for Elektra. She was the one he had the fight with at the airport.
Oh, okay. I vaguely remember that because I never went back to Daredevil after season 2. Mm-hmm.
But and that's what I'm saying. It happened in season 2.
Right. Yeah. The back and forth between Tesla and Thomas Edison was fun.
Yes.
I like that they gave Yaz more to do. I'm glad they didn't kill her off again, like they've been threatening to do since the season started. I wish it would stop.
Yeah, they do need to cut that shit out.
leave my girl alone. Jesus. It was fun. I really did enjoy that episode.
Well, it was interesting because I thought that was... you remember the Doctor's episode, the very first, the Runaway Bride episode with Donna, where she was first introduced? I thought that was that thing again.
So did I. And I was looking at it with my, and my wife was in the room. It's like, oh, they brought her back. Wow. And they're right. Like, oh, no, they did not.
Right. And I'm like, maybe that's not. I feel like they use the same creature effects, which threw a lot of, probably threw a lot of people off, honestly.
Yeah.
So. Last but not least.
Fugitive. The doctor is black.
My doctor is black. Exactly. My doctor is black. Natural hair, locked up, let's go, baby. Fugitive of the Judoon. What did you think of the Fugitive of Judoon, Joseph?
I loved it. it was good to see the... Okay, so it was good to see the Judoon back.
Yes, I love them. And I love that the lead one was a woman.
Right.
Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. I love that.
It was even better to see Captain Jack come back.
Oh my God. I was so mad that they didn't hook up with Jody. I'm like, yes, John! Because he had surgery for his spine recently. So I'm like, oh, John. But yeah, he came back and I love me some Captain Jack.
Yep. And then, of course, you know, we get Joe, what is it? Joe Martin, I think was her name. Joe Martin, I want to say.
Hold on.
As the doctor.
Look, they trying to make up for the fact that they killed off our other black locked goddess in episode one of series 11. Saying.
Joe Martin, that's what her name is. And she is natural hair all over the place, and it is fantastic.
Oh, I was here for it. Here for it. You know what I didn't like?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they fucking spoiled it. And by they, I mean the BBC. It was like no sooner. I want to say it even came out before the episode aired, the day the episode was set to air. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Wait, really?
Yeah.
They must have put that on Twitter because I missed that.
I want to say that my boy James in Ireland mentioned it. Wow. He was mad. He was like, well.
I'm glad I stayed off of Twitter for that, for the most part.
I saw it on Twitter and Facebook. The article ran. It was like an article that ran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw mention of Captain Jack, but I didn't see anything else. I saw Captain Jack was like, all right, I don't need to say nothing else. Let me get out of here now.
Like, I was okay with the Captain Jack reveal. That was cool. I'm talking about the fact that Joe Martin was the doctor. That part got spoiled. And I was like, y'all.
Yeah, that would have made me furious.
I was pissed. Did I mention I was pissed?
Well, I'm surprised I survived then, so
yeah.
Yay me. You didn't get to bludgeon me with a cudgel for swallowing it.
Exactly. So what were some highlights of the episode for you? Like, had we not been spoiled, honestly, I would have assumed that the white guy that was protecting her was the doctor.
Right. Because that's the way it's always gone through time incarnate until the past couple of seasons.
Yeah. What else? What else? I'm not
going to
sit here and talk the whole time.
I'm trying to remember myself. Let's see. I liked that. I liked how the bakery guy was suspicious, but was suspicious for the wrong reason. Ugh. And he couldn't bake to save his life.
And he got himself killed trying to be a narc because he wanted to be with her. I'm like, and what did you think was going to happen when she found out that you're the one who narked them out?
He wasn't thinking with the big head.
No, his dick was not his friend, and he paid the price for it.
Exactly.
What do you think is happening?
I want to say Joe Martin's doctor might be like the incarnation between the second and the third, because we know nothing about that one. All we know is we have Troughton as the second doctor. They force him to regenerate, and then all of a sudden we see the third one and stumble out of the TARDIS at the beginning of that series. So there is a lot in between that we don't know. And also, it's not like the BBC hasn't completely, you know, created a doctor out of whole cloth before.
Hello, John Hurt. May you rest in peace.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems interesting because Joe Martin's doctor has the same thoughts as Jodie's doctor, the same memories.
Yeah.
Except that Joe was like, "You're not from my. Are you from my future?" And Jodie's like, "No, because I don't remember you in my past." But they all both remember the same past memories, and it looks. I don't know. Do we have a multiverse in Doctor Who the way we do in the DC and Marvel universes, where things went differently? Because all three of them, including the lady that was hunting Joe Martin, were Gallifreyan.
Right.
And they didn't realize that their homeworld had been destroyed.
Right. So we may have a multiverse thing going.
Or did the Master fuck things up with what he did to Gallifrey?
Come on, the Master would never do anything like that. He seems like such a stable individual.
I will hang up this phone call and finish this podcast by myself, sir. I will finish it by myself. Yes, I will. That is what I will do.
That would not surprise me, though, with the Master being, you know, his head and shoulders, complete evil incarnate being. That does sound like his move.
Yeah, no, Missy is no more. We got full batshit crazy Master back to John Sims' Master days.
Now, here's something that, and I was reading this on some site, and somebody made the comment, we never see the Master regenerate, but we did see it once. So we don't know which version of the Master this one is.
Is it from John Sims' Master or Missy's regeneration?
We don't know. Maybe it's John Sims. Yeah. After John Sims. We have no clue.
Timeline-wise, it makes the most sense.
Right. I mean, he has a TARDIS and everything, so maybe it's even before John Sim. Who knows?
And Joe Martin uses a weapon. She's you know what was cracking me up about that whole exchange? She was like, she was looking at her like, why are you so basic? Your clothes don't even fit, and they're ridiculous. I'm like, dang, she's reading her just like a black woman.
No, and she had no use for the sonic screwdriver or anything. Like, I got my wits, and I have this gun that I am not going to use, but I could use it. I'm not going to use it. They don't know that, but it could happen.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I want to back up to the Nikola Tesla episode. Okay. The one thing I am not liking is that in that episode, people forget that Yaz is a police cadet. And they kind of had her acting like a damsel in distress a little bit.
Yeah, they really need to cut that out.
I didn't like that.
If anybody should be a quote-unquote damsel in distress, it should be Ryan.
And he's not.
Right.
Out of Ryan, the three companions, he is the one. Oh. Out of the three companions, he should be the most vulnerable.
Right.
And yet this season, like you said, we've seen them kill Yaz once. And then in this, the Nikola Tesla episode, she was basically acting hapless and helpless. And I'm like, no, that's not who Yaz is. And what are you doing?
Right.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah, it's like they took all the traits of Clara that we didn't like and put it into her. So they need to not do that. And I like Clara, so
there you go. I didn't like Clara at all. So I'm even less happy that they did what you are saying they did.
But of course, you haven't seen this episode yet. They also kind of redeemed themselves a little bit in the last one. I'll let you see it for yourself. You know, kind
of. I love how you're like, kind of, sort of, maybe. Bueller.
I mean, I really, you know, seriously though, when you see it, you know, you'll see what I mean.
Does Clara show up? You can tell me that now,
because I'm no.
Okay, because I will skip the fuck out of that episode.
Remember, she's out with
me. Yeah.
Stark gallivanting across time and space.
Or seeing what's west of Westeros.
Yeah.
Look, y'all can be mad about that show. I thought it was fine. It ended having listened to Fire and Blood, it ended about how it would have ended had George R. R. Martin written it. You don't believe me? Go read or listen to Fire and Blood, and then you will understand what I mean.
I ain't seen past the halfway point of season one, so I have no say-so in one way or the other.
Oh, you gave up.
I threw in the towel quick. And that's bittersweet because I don't like high fantasy. It's just never been my bag. I've tried it and tried it and tried it, and it's like, no, I can't do it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'll never watch The Witcher. I hear it's great.
Coin to your Witcher, O Valley of Plenty. But you have to watch it just to get in on that joke. Come on.
The song is fun. I like the song. It goes, as the kids would say.
Why are you like this? Why are you like this?
Because I know no other way. This is the way.
This is not the way. You are spoiling the fun. Get on the winning team. And the winning team is watching The Witcher.
Maybe I'll get around to it one day. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Oh, no. They got a season two already set up.
Right. Yeah, it's not going away anytime soon.
Toss a coin to your Witcher. See, you might have me in this.
Watch it.
Huh?
I said, maybe I'll get drunk one day and watch it.
You don't have to be drunk to watch it.
I don't like high fantasy, remember? Kind of helps.
This isn't high fantasy. It's a video game.
I didn't like the video games.
Oh. Well. Yeah.
I tried to play the second one. Mm-hmm. I really gave it an honest effort. Mm-hmm. But I went away from it on my Xbox and never went back.
Okay, so, oh, God. Okay, thoughts out to Paris. He had an emergency, so that's why he could not make it.
Gotcha. Hope all is well, my man.
Yeah. We'll talk about it offline because I'm not putting his business out there like that. Okay, without telling me what happened in season six, episode six, Laura, season six, help me, Jesus. Where do you think this is going?
I think, and I hate to say it, I think we might be losing Yaz, but not because she dies. I think we might be losing her because she's ready to go off and do her own thing.
The actress is?
The character.
Ah.
Because she's been putting her police work on hold for a long time doing this.
Yeah, and the season did open up addressing that.
Right, and it feels like that's what she really wants to do. So it might be time for her to go ahead and walk off the TARDIS on her own accord, pull a Martha Jones, and do what she wants to do with her life.
Yeah, before they kill her.
Yeah. I think we might be seeing all three companions leave because what I'm feeling, the rest of the season is going to be rough.
Yeah. I haven't seen episode six, but just with what was introduced in episode five. Oh, yeah. All hell's about to break. It feels like all hell's about to break loose.
Right. And it's like episode six is like it glossed over. It didn't even gloss over what happened before. But, you know, it's like it's setting the seeds for something pretty serious coming along. Yeah, but
be a big baby about it.
Well, it's a valid reason. I mean, yes, but this probably. It's probably too many people in the TARDIS for them to manage it for story purposes.
True, and it could be that they're going back to the old method of, you know, the companions stay for a hot second and then they're out.
Right. And hopefully, you know, like Rose and Martha, hopefully they'll leave on their pretty much unscathed. unscathed.
As on their own 2 feet?
Yeah. Well, Donald left unscathed, too.
No, she didn't. He brainwashed her and mind-wiped her.
Losing her memories notwithstanding, she didn't die.
No, she could have if the memories ever came back. Remember, that was a caveat. So she was still a walking freaking time bomb. I hated that so much. I hated that so much. That was my biggest pet peeve.
The Pawns died, which, you know, they get to live happily ever after.
In the past and die, yeah. Claire died. Is it? Yeah. Technically, Claire died. Bill, I'm still pissed about Bill.
Every time I think about that, I get angry.
I get so fucking pissed off. They did my girl so goddamn wrong.
And they gave her a half-hearted happily ever after, but still.
No, they screwed her. They screwed her. That's why they tried. I bet that thing was a last-minute thing because they realized they messed up.
Right.
And I wonder if Pearl pointed out, like, why I got to die like this?
And it's not just a death. It was a gruesome death.
Yes, like. So mad.
But I don't think Chip would kill them off. I think he would let them go on their own if he's smart.
And I will say, look, we just watched him kill a white man that everybody thought was a doctor. So I don't put nothing past Chip.
Fair point.
I just go point it out.
Fair point. But I got to say, it was still, even still, it was fun in that episode. It was still fun to see John Barrowman back at it.
Oh my God, when he kissed Graham.
That
Graham's reaction, he's like, I don't know what to do with this. That was so good. He is such a horn dog. I love him so much. I love John Barrowman. Oh my God, if I could be part of their marriage, if they would let me be a part of their marriage, I would so totally be a part of their marriage. I know I'm a mess.
Yeah, he even his social media, he has a good time.
Yes, at every con. Oh my gosh.
Right.
And I know he'd be making folks mad. Like, them Super Bowl folks really could not handle going to the conventions with him because he walks around in a dress with a pink dildo at the last one. It was beautiful.
They hate that. And I love it so. It's so fun watching them get mad.
I'm like, you was mad at these two Latina women shaking their asses. Do not see John Barrowman at any convention. Right. You will lose your shit.
Not even sure why they're mad about that, but okie dokie.
You know why.
I know why. And they didn't have that Nan problem with
meth addict looking Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Sorry for you Adam Levine fans. He looked like a crackhead to me in that picture. Look,
yeah.
All I know is those ladies went up there and said, look, Gen X knows how to age. When we look 40 and 50, goddamn it, we still got it. We don't look like we ready for the grave.
Right.
Shout out to Wilfred Brimley. He's adorable. I love him. However, my man, you looked 80 when you were 50. And you know it. He knows it. He knows.
Yeah, he really did.
He really does. Oh, anything else?
No, I think I'm good. I'm ready to see how they wrap this bad boy up.
Do you think we get one more season with Jody?
Yes. Why? I think she does at least 3.
Why?
She seems to be having fun with the role, so that always helps. And I don't think she wants to leave yet. And she has a good thing going. She wants to stay.
Okay. I will say I like Jody. So what I'm about to say next is going to sound super controversial. However, I would not mind if, you know, Joe Martin took up the TARDIS, you know, in the next season. I'd be okay with it. Like, if you wanted to let Jody take a vacation for a year and then come back and, you know, let Joe spend a year, like, floating around the universe.
I'm waiting on the controversial part.
You know it's controversial. So who? Not to us.
I don't care what they think. They can go, they can be big mad for all I care. Jump into a vat of lava. Leave me alone. Let me watch Joe Martin in peace.
Oh, the question is, though, do you want multiple companions in the next iteration?
No.
Ah, you're enjoying them now, but
it's hard for them. It's been hard for them to maintain focus on three different companions and give them all something interesting and exciting to do. I think two is their limit, unless they find some new writers who can throw all three of them in there, give them something to do besides having Yaz look stupid. Then yeah, they just need to go no more than two, or you know, or they can just filter them out every now and then. You know, have Ryan and Graham come in for one, Ryan and Yaz come in for one, Yaz and Graham come in for one. You know, you don't need all three at once.
That's interesting.
I think that would help.
I can see what you're saying, though, about it feeling like overload.
Yeah. But, you know, other than I think if they shuffled them out some, that would help with the three companion fatigue.
Here's what I will say. I need them to... You know who would I don't know if he's available. I wouldn't mind it being her and Captain Jack.
I wouldn't mind that either. That would be fun.
I would love a whole season of her and Captain Jack.
I think she would try to kick him out of the TARDIS after a certain point because we know how Captain Jack is. Because
he's a horny motherfucker. Yes, of course he's going to try to kick her out. But still.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Or at the very least for more than 10 minutes in an episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I just know him, so let's let him meet Jody and let them have a ball.
I hope he comes back before the end of the season and we do get that reunion because that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I really hope so.
Yeah, same. Same. Anyway, that's all we've got, unless you've got something else you want to share?
I don't.
All righty. So, like I said, we will be back for episodes 6 through 8 in a couple of weeks and then wrap up the season. I am going to get murdered. I just realized we have feedback. Son of a bitch. Showed up. I told y'all, it's been a rough year. It's been a rough year for you, girl.
Yeah, 2020 has been the longest decade in recorded history right now. So
on a cracker, has it ever. It's annoying and exhausting. Okay, so from our Sheffield correspondent, Felix. Hey, Felix! Doctor Who, season 12, episodes 3 through 5, feedback. Hi, guys, Felix here. Gotta say, halfway through the season, I'm really enjoying it. The last two episodes in particular were some of my faves, starting with Orphan 55. While it wasn't bad, it was very clumsy in parts. Really felt like the emotional story of the mom and daughter didn't mesh well with all the horror elements. The depiction of the daughter also just weirded me out. Started out fun. And then as soon as I'm invested, she turns into a caricature. I can see that. It's really sad, too. That actress deserved way better than the green-haired dad and his son. Man, it is real hard taking that actor seriously. Don't know if you guys have heard of it, but he was in a really huge comedy series about dumbass British teens in the late 2000s called The Inbetweeners. He played the horny one. He was really funny. I haven't been able to not see him as that character since. He was way more subdued than he usually is, though, which was interesting. The wig didn't really do him any favors. Actually, I don't think anyone's costumes that were the Doctor and the fam and the monsters looked good. You know, I feel like they may have asked Tyler Perry, you know, hit up Tyler Perry Productions for the wigs. Look, I haven't watched that show. I've watched people lose their shit over it. And I'm just like, it's Tyler Perry. What the fuck did you expect? It really was not the strongest episode, especially following Spyfall. It was a great letdown following Spyfall. I will agree.
I don't even know how they would have fixed that. Maybe flipped Nikola Tesla in Orphan 55? Mm. No, because then that would have been a letdown from that.
Yeah, either way, it was going to be a letdown.
Right.
Sorry. Okay, so quickly going over the latest episode, I really enjoyed it. It looked great and had great one-off characters, and the resolution was unique. Another great episode. Can't help but think I would have been even better if Idris was playing the astronaut and DCI Ripley was kissing him at the end. But let me now start on a fanfic tangent, ha. Real nice to see that actor again in something I watch. Still to this day, remember crying the entire night after what happened to his character on Luther. Now on to the Judoon episode. I'm so mad that I had the surprise ruined for me that episode. Same, sweetie, same. Literal minutes after the episode was done, I got a Google News notification with the big spoiler right in the headline. Even knowing that, though, I still really enjoyed the episode. Loved Ruth at the start, cringed at the ice cream dude who was trying to smash so desperately he sold her man out to the aliens. You know, backing up, they did the same thing with the master. The episode had barely aired, and then it was all over the internet. And it's like, BBC, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, it's because they're focusing mostly on the UK market, and they forget that, you know, the other countries don't have it yet.
Yeah. Loved Ruth at the start, cringed at the ice cream dude who was trying to smash so desperately he sold her man out to the aliens. I really want to know how he thought that conversation would go when she found out he did that. I mean, Ruth got her memories back and came out in that outfit. I was smitten. I was in love. I found myself questioning my heterosexuality for a second there. I won't lie. I did. I'm not even going to lie. I screamed a little.
This is a no judgment zone.
Really curious how that story's going to go. Her TARDIS was high-key way better than Jodie's. Our doc must have been seething in between not listening to Dr. Ruth. Haha. Between her and the Master, this season is setting up a lot of interesting threads. Can't wait to see how they play out. Looking forward to the episode. Felix out. Thank you, Felix. And then D, who was on top of it, he sent this back. Delano, back January 20th. See, I didn't forget you. It's just that we hadn't recorded yet. I've got you. And just so you know, the next time, in 2 weeks when we record, you can leave for 5 through 8 so we can get your reaction to Joe Martin as the Doctor. Ha! Anyway. Orphan 55 was a nice episode. It was a good Monster of the Week episode with an overall twist I kind of saw coming. It was nice to see them do a what if on climate change, although after the Doctor revealed it was just a possible future, I wanted Keenan Ivory Wayans to pop up and say message. Yes! It was too preachy and too, like, look into the camera kind of. We didn't need that. We got it.
Yeah, it was basically very on the nose.
Yeah. I'd rather it have been the future.
Yeah.
The old white woman was by far the most annoying character this episode. I get her wanting to know where Benny was, but it just got on my nerves after a while. I felt for Kane because no parent wants their work to come between them and their children. Sometimes things get away from you, and by the time you realize that, you hope your children have not turned into destructive monsters. I get not being familiar with Tesla's work, but how have two millennials and a baby boomer never heard of him? Well, Graham had heard of him. Graham did know of Tesla.
They probably only know about the cars.
Right, but let's be honest. We know about Tesla only in the last decade. When I was that age, 20 years ago, I didn't know who the fuck a Tesla was. Same. It's only been in the last decade as we realized that the AC should have been the better choice that people are really talking up Nikola Tesla. So... maybe it's just me, but it seems to me that this doctor explains historical events like her crew is in middle school. Well, they kind of are. It is weird to me seeing someone I've heard doing a guest role of Doctor Who. But if I watch more British television, this would not be a problem. Nice to see Goran Vishnik back on television. Agreed. I feel like he's an underrated actor who, because he's got, I feel like he wound up with the reputation of the lesser George Clooney.
Which is an insult because he is really good.
He's really good, and he was brought in to replace George Clooney. He has some of the darker, swarthy looks that kind of mirrored him. But I'm going to say it, he's a better actor who just has not gotten his due.
All right. It's not like he's great value Matthew McConaughey or anything.
No. And I don't appreciate that because I like William, and you will back up off my man, Joseph.
I would. You know such.
Anyway, that's it for the feedback. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back in a few weeks with episodes 6 through 8 of Doctor Who Season 12. Bye.
Take it easy.